I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kyle Hendricks joins the Bernstein and McKnight Show, the Cubs starter with us on the Score here at Sloan Park. How are you, Kyle?
Awesome, guys. Yeah, how are you guys?
Wonderful. Good to have you.
Yeah.
So I was talking yesterday in transition with our afternoon show, and I mentioned after our conversation with Chris Bryant up here on Monday that I felt that there is like an optimism in camp based on you guys having it out there that, yeah, last 2 years have been somewhat difficult for us, but we are all kind of talking about it now, and kind of it felt to me like empowered to say some of this stuff out loud. Is there an optimism in that way specifically around you guys that's kind of different?
100%. I think there's just a new energy in camp this year, and honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with David Ross, just what he's brought already. His energy, his passion, his focus on the details, just everything he's been telling us. Guys have really been taking it to heart, and you know, we trust him with everything. The respect's there, and we're super excited to kind of just have him on board and the rest of the staff. We have a lot of new guys, and kind of all of those guys together, there's just an awesome energy around camp. Guys are getting their work in, and yeah, we're really excited just to have our focus and focus on the details, and can't wait for game one to get here.
It's an odd thing in baseball, a sport that you can't play harder. We've seen training camps for football teams. We've seen the way they go about their work, and you can feel it. There's a crackle to the practice because it's a sport you can play harder. How does it manifest itself? What's palpable about it in the work?
Mm-hmm. I think the mental focus. You know, it's easy to come out here in spring and just get your work in. You know, like you said, you don't have to work that hard sometimes. You just have to go out, get your ground balls, get your fly balls, get our PFPs, whatever it is for that day. It might not be a whole lot, but just the way you go about your work, honestly, is the most important part. So just not getting lackadaisical on things, going out, being crisp about it, getting it done right, and getting out. And the more you do that, kind of like Rossi says, you focus on those details, you do everything right. At the end of the day, that just translates to everything you do. And so that's where we're trying to get as a team.
Do you think much about the consistency of the roster since you've been here? We talked with John Lester yesterday, and he said that was a source of comfort for him, you know, kind of knowing you don't have to introduce yourself to a whole bunch of new guys. Is it similar for you?
Definitely, yeah. We think about it for sure. I think you think about all the changes or anything that stays the same, you know, year in and year out. So, yeah, I think I'm really lucky to have this group of guys and to play with them year in and year out. And I think we're really looking forward to just having a clean slate and having another opportunity as a group to go and attack this season, you know, with all our brothers that we've been in this with for a while.
I wish I'd asked John about it yesterday. I just thought of it now as you were kind of talking. The consistency is there with everybody that wears the pinstripes, right, that's out there on the field. But you have gone through yet another coaching change each and every year. And now, for the first year in quite a while, your pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy, is the guy for a second season. What's the new focus now that he's had the kind of, you know, another year with everybody under his charge?
Yeah, there's just more trust there. You know, you've worked with him more. It's another year under our belt. He knows guys even better. So they did a ton of work in the offseason putting together little presentations for each individual guy and kind of sending it to him in the middle of the offseason so that your focus could stay on the things you were doing good at the end of a season. Sometimes you go into the offseason, you know, and you want to get away. You want to take some time off, but it can be detrimental at times if you were throwing good at the end of the year. You want to keep some of those feelings or remember what you were doing, what you were working on. So they did an unbelievable job just putting together these little presentations just to get our minds, you know, on topic and on task to start the off season. And we showed up to camp. It's almost like you can start taking advantage of the work sooner. You know, you don't have to go through all these things you would normally be going through the first few days. And there's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
For you, what is an aspect of the new measurables? We use the term pitch lab, but it sounds sort of, I don't know, maybe that makes it sound pejorative almost, oh, yeah, pitch lab. But with all that can be measured, what has been the most valuable to you?
Yeah, so to me, I could say I don't really use a lot of the measured numbers. I use a thing, it's like a Kinetrax, so it pinpoints like different spots in your skeleton. So it tracks how your body's moving, and that's a lot of mechanical things. So I overlay that when I'm going really well, and maybe when I don't feel so good, I can compare and contrast and make small adjustments.
What gets out of whack?
To me, it's a few different things. My arm slot sometimes will creep up a little bit, or I'll start rushing and get a little quick to the plate, kind of roll through my balance point. Those are two of my main things I do. But honestly, all the measurables, all the numbers, those are awesome too. Like if you're going in and want to work on something, work on a pitch, work on a different grip, you can get immediate feedback, know right away if it's better or worse, whatever it is. But again, that's where I rely a lot on these guys in the background. Tommy, number one, but also the whole staff we got behind him. They know what I'm supposed to look like and what the numbers are supposed to look like when I'm throwing well. And if something's off, if I throw a bullpen, they go through and they look at it. Something's off, they'll come to me, and then we'll address it. That's kind of how I do it.
Talk with Kyle Hendricks, Cubs starting pitcher here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score. So have you guys – there is a long tradition in baseball of doing your work, but then screwing around after you've done it for a little while. I won't say the name of the pitcher, but I remember going out to watch, you know, the pregame stuff, infield and whatnot. And a starting pitcher went out to shortstop. This is a few years ago. You didn't play with him. Goes out to shortstop, stands with his back toward the hitter, and on the crack of the bat turns to hopefully field the ground ball. I thought it was insane. Obviously, that's screwing around. Have you guys screwed around with the new technology yet?
Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't been down there when we have. That's a tough play there. You know, I don't know if I would trust myself to do
My jaw hit the floor.
For sure, yeah, I would not trust that. But no, in the pitch lab, I guess it kind of is like that at times. You're having fun. Guys will go in there and they'll just mess around and try and have fun if they're working on a curveball. They'll try 5 or 6 different grips, and somehow that can be quote-unquote fun for a guy, you know, just to kind of try some, let it loose, really not have to worry about a result in a way.
Boy, the wackiness level there is just off the charts.
Exactly. Whoa, it's crazy fun, man.
Right, different
crazy fun.
Grips. Whoa.
Awesome, right?
What's this stuff?
Exactly. Outside of that, I don't know much, man. You know, it's real. It can get real nerdy in there with all these numbers, so that might be about the extent of the fun you get.
I just feel like with you, Darvish, and the way, you know, I read his piece, the interview that Sahadev did in The Athletic with him, and just how much he uses it. I feel like with a super slow-mo camera like that, there are options to kind of goof off with that thing in your face.
There could be, for sure. You know, I think guys, you only get to have so many throws, I think, as a pitcher. And so guys do really get serious, and they go in there and they are working on things, you know. But watching Darvish, that's one of the guys that is. It's unbelievable to go in there and watch what he does in the lab, just breaking down a pitch or a grip from somebody else or something and trying to take a pitch and learn it, and he can – it takes him a few throws and just watching those cameras a little bit, and he can learn how to throw a new pitch.
Yes, some pitchers are collectors.
Mm-hmm.
Some pitchers have these curiosities and they want to know. That can be a detriment, though. Like at some point, you've got, and I know the Darvish has talked about this, about paring down. It's like when you get to a restaurant and the menu has everything, you think not all these things can be good, right? They've got, what is this restaurant really good at? That's what I'm going to order. I'm not going to get like orange ruffy at a diner, you know? So like, how do you balance learning pitches and experimenting and getting good at things, but also saying, look, I don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Definitely. It can be a tough balance for sure. That's a good question. I think it comes with experience. The more experience you get, you just learn yourself and what you need. And so I think you always have to, you know what your best pitches are, and you know what those are supposed to look like or where those need to be at a certain point in spring. So those are going to be your focus. You need to have your best pitches ready. If you're ahead of schedule and those feel good or something, by all means, you can have more time and you can work on something different. Now, if those don't feel good, you're going to have to lock in and really get your pitches right. So that's kind of where I lean to. If I'm feeling really good, those are locked in. I might work on something else, something different, my curveball more. But if I'm not feeling good with it, I got to just keep throwing my changeup till it feels good.
Hypothetically, Kyle, what pitch are you tempted by? Like, oh, if I had this, that would be fun, but I know I can't go over there.
The answer is 98 mile an hour fastball.
But you don't get to increase the velocity by any more than a couple ticks.
Man, all right. If I can't do the fastball, then I mean naturally just be a slider.
Okay,
some kind of tight slider. I think that would really help me out, or it could be another go-to pitch for me, but I've never been a guy that's been able to really throw a slider. I've tried to mess around with it at times. Talked to Darvish about it. Talked to all kinds of different guys, just the way of moving it. I think naturally I just spin a curveball better than I do a slider or something. I just can't get the spin to be tight enough and to be sharp enough. Could be a velocity thing too with that. So, you know, yeah, I wish I could have other pitches at times, but, you know, what I have I'm really excited about, and I'm just trying to make what I have better all the time.
I remember talking to Arrieta about that slutter, right? The slider cutter thing that he threw, and then he said he lost the feel for it. Like, that's got to be... It's almost like an artist not being able to translate what he sees to the canvas. You know, it's like it's got to feel incredibly painful to just not have it. Is that something the Pitch Lab can help you with?
Definitely. Because I think a lot of times when you don't have it, it's a feel thing. So you feel it's a little off, and what you could be feeling could be different than what's actually happening. So if you go in the lab, you can rely on these cameras. You know the feedback you're getting is 100% accurate, you know. So you can rely on the numbers. You can rely on the video, and it could help you come out of it a little bit sooner. But, you know, it's tough. It's similar to golf, you know. Like, every day you come out, you pick up a baseball, it feels a little bit different, even though we do it every single day.
Well, these baseballs keep changing.
That too, you know, that's part of it. But just in general, even if it were the same baseball, just your body and how you're throwing, it's a little bit different every single day. So that feel can get off. So just having as many tools as possible, being able to fall back on that and knowing what works for you is always huge.
I was reading in a couple of different places today that Major League Baseball is kind of pushing a real restriction of technology for you guys in game, and that seems to be a point of contention between the league and the Players Association. If it was all taken away, if the cameras, if the real-time checkup stuff that you guys do in-game were taken away, how much would that affect you, and are you even close to thinking about it that way?
Yeah, that would probably affect us a lot, to be honest. Yeah, we rely a lot on coming in after an inning or a guy coming in after an at-bat and being able to look at the video and see how a guy's attacking you, if you saw in real-time what actually was happening, you know, just being able to go double-check it. It is a big part of the game for us, but being able to find that balance of how you can use that, but also not having it available for people to take advantage of it is tough.
Is it easy for you to understand why we're talking about this, given the deed the Astros did, given how bad that all was?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think there's no spot in the game for any of that. So, like I said, it's a tough balance.
We are enjoying the presence of Kyle Hendricks here this morning on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and you mentioned the feeling in camp is engendered largely by the presence of David Ross. What's been a surprise? What has been something you didn't expect from him at this point?
You know, I just think the amount of control that he really has over the position and just over what he says and what he does, it just feels so natural for him being in that position. And I guess I didn't expect that fully. You know, I knew it was going to be great and it was going to be awesome having him here. But from day one when he came in, I mean, it's like that's where he's supposed to be. That's what the position he's supposed to have. And it's so much fun having him around and just the interactions day to day, getting to have the morning meetings and just the conviction that he has in everything that he says, everything he believes. It just translates so easily. And we really are eating it up right now.
Where are you at on pitch framing? We were talking about this a little bit, and we had a conversation with John Lester about it, and I, honest to God, it was tough for me to keep up exactly with where he's at on pitch framing. Is this an organization-wide thing? Is
he's
it all
a denialist.
Five of you?
He does not believe in pitch that it exists.
Please help me understand.
Okay. I don't know if I can help you understand him exactly on that part, but I get what he's saying in a way. As a pitcher, what we want and kind of what we've talked to the catchers about a lot is we rely a lot on a target, you know, looking at the glove. And so a lot of times in order to frame pitches really well, you have to be real quiet. So you kind of have to let your glove drop. You have to move your glove around and then at the last second come up and catch it. That's kind of something they're trying to teach. And for a lot of us, it's just a hard visual to see with the catcher moving around back there. And you're really trying to pick a spot and command the baseball and throw it to a spot, but he's moving and you don't really know where to look at, you know? So At the end of the day, yeah, there's ways you can steal strikes in a way because, yeah, it's a human behind there, you know, as the umpire, like you were saying. But there also has to be that fine line where you have to see the glove, see the target, because if you make a good pitch and it's a strike at the end of the day, it's a strike. So how many pitches are you really going to steal throughout a game? It's not going to be many.
Right.
So if you have a good target and make enough good pitches, the results should be good from there.
So if there were an electronic strike zone, theoretically, that allows the catcher to just place it there. Mm-hmm. You've got your target. Pitching gets better?
I think maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, pitching would be a little different for sure. Catching would be a lot different, you know, obviously. So I think, yeah, as a catcher, we would just want the glove exactly where we're trying to throw it. And then as soon as it comes out of our hand, they can maybe drop the glove, get a little lazy, and then catch it however they want. It's not going to matter, you know. But with these, with the human umpires behind the plate, it does matter how you catch it, how the visual is, how you present it to them. So certain ways you can catch the low strike, you can definitely steal some strikes throughout a game, and it could make a difference.
Yeah, I keep thinking that when we get an automated strike zone, I don't say if, because I think it's a matter of when, the breaking ball in the top of the zone that is never called for a strike, even though you've shaved off the back end of that three-dimensional space, that's going to be the new market inefficiency, I think, is the ability to drop that curve in into the back of the top of the strike zone.
I agree. I think curveball as a whole is going to be really interesting how it works, because not only at the top of the zone, but also at the bottom of the zone, some guys bounce a curveball and it technically clips the bottom of that 3D box, you know. Is that a ball that ends up in the dirt? Is that going to be a strike technically? You know, you see those pitches too. So there'll be some adjustments like anything else, you know. I think you always need the human element in there. But it's going to be very interesting to see where the game goes with that.
How are you physically?
Awesome. Awesome. I feel great. I changed some stuff in my off-season program.
What?
I started working with a new trainer out of Florida. Just had to make some changes from the last 2 years, what I felt in my body. So my shoulder feels real stable and strong. My legs was a big focus for me. I feel stronger. Not necessarily trying to gain velo, but just trying to make sure my mechanics are solid and I can it's easily repeatable. And if velo happens to come from that, from what I'm doing and what I've changed, that'd be great. But I feel great. Right
you
now.
Said stable. Is that just a measure of repeating exactly the arm slot? Is that what you were searching for?
In a way, just your body motion, you know, just stability throughout your entire body. Doing athletic movements on the side, not just pushing weight in the weight room, you know, working through athletic movements so you're more in your body. By the time I go through my whole motion, I feel where my body is at all times, and I know that I can rely on that feedback. Sometimes when you're not strong enough or not strong enough in the right positions, you'll roll through your windup, and you're not quite sure where you even were, you know, or where your arm was at. You're just a little off. Yeah. So I just feel really good in my body right now, and the things I've done this offseason feel great.
We mentioned the variability of the ball. What do we know? Is there anything that we know, or can you not worry about it? Is there a way you can just say, I have to make sure my approach is independent of what this baseball is, and I can't be a slave to how this thing is flying?
Yes, that's how you have to think at the end of the day, or else it'll take over you. And a good way to help that kind of sink in, I guess, is everybody's playing with the same ball. So the other team's throwing the same ball too. I mean, it's different baseballs, I guess. There's small variability in there, but overall we're playing with the same ball. So yeah, it was interesting last year. You did notice certain things. Balls going to the opposite field sometimes that just would carry a little bit further than you would have noticed in the past. You know, we've all seen and watched a lot of baseball, and there's happened to be certain moments that kind of stood out where you're like, man, that ball shouldn't be traveling that far.
I get it from watching the hitter.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a hitter think like, oh, man,
yeah.
And kind of flip the bat away, I'm like, dude, that's in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta run. And they're just like, oh, that's a pop-up. And they're surprised by it.
Yes, yes. They know so well how the ball comes off their bat and where it should be going. They've done it a million times. So, yeah, that's a big telltale sign right there.
Kyle, we really appreciate you stopping by. Great talking, as always. Yeah. Stay healthy. Have a great spring. Yeah. Talk to you again soon.
Really appreciate it, guys, always. Thank you.
That is Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.